So I've been playing the guitar now for, I realized this last week, it's been 44 years since I first got a guitar for my 14th birthday in the spring of 1982. Yeah, 44 years. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not old enough to have done anything for 44 years. But it was 1982, man, and growing up, I had siblings that were older than me in the 70s, and I grew up hearing lots of really great 70s rock, like Kansas, Queen, all of that stuff. I see the heads nodding, right? Yeah. And that was really great, but guess what? In 1982, it was the era of shred guitar, right? It was game on for being a guitar player. And I was an eighth grader. I had eighth grade swagger. I had this amazing head of hair. Remember, we would part it down the middle, and it was feathered, and we'd shake it like this. Oh, man, it was the glory days. And I don't mean to brag, but that year, 1982, I got best hair in the yearbook. It's not really necessary for this story, neither here nor there. But man, I was ready to rock, and I wanted a guitar so bad. And I begged my parents, could I please have a guitar? So for my 14th birthday, I was given a guitar, and they said, we'll pay for lessons for you. And then they got all like serious. It was like, had this, serious talk. They're like, we'll pay for lessons, but you really have to promise that you're gonna practice. And I was like, of course I'm gonna practice. I'm gonna practice really hard for about 3-4 weeks. By then I'll have it mastered and I'll be ready to roll. And I needed no convincing. So I went to my lessons at Sanders Music Center, and there was this hippie guy, his name was Tim something or other, and he was my new guitar instructor. And he was like, hey, do you wanna learn, the Doobie Brothers? Do you wanna learn Duane Allman, all this old 70s stuff? And I was like, no, man, I want to rock. And the most popular song on the radio at that spring of 82 was Don't Stop Believin' by Marin's Own Journey. Can I get a what? Marin's Own Journey. And I was like, oh, man, I want to learn Don't Stop Believin'. So Tim was like, fine, I'll teach you this, 80s rock. So I learned Don't Stop Believin', learned how to play it. He sent me home to practice. And I practiced so hard. I went to all my lessons for the next several weeks. I practiced every day in my room after school. I practiced all weekend long and made lots of ruckus. And my family was like, are you done yet? But I was so ready to go for it. And as I practiced, I would imagine being in the auditorium at my school. Like, I was a big man on campus, right? Eighth grade. And I imagine being in the auditorium on stage. The lights would be on. All my friends would be there. They'd be holding up lighters, because that's what we did back then. And we'd be jamming. They'd be singing along. It was going to be so epic. And I was going to be like, right? And we'd always singing, don't stop believing, right? Hold on to the When it got to the solo, I was so ready because I had the hair for it. And I was going to just, let the wind blow in my hair. I'd hold my guitar up like they did on Friday Night Videos. And then at the very ending, I had this big finish planned. I was going to go, don't stop. And then I'd say, good night, Magnolia Intermediate. Was gonna be so epic. I just knew it. But see, here's the thing though. You just heard the version of me that's been playing guitar for 44 years, because when I was in eighth grade and learning how to play Don't Stop Believin', it actually sounded like this. And that's actually better than I really sounded, because it was so hard to play the guitar. I was like, wait, when I watched Neil Schon from Journey do it, like, it's so effortless. And I thought I practiced really hard for 3 or 4 weeks. But the reality was, it needed a lot more time to be able to get to where I could actually play. And I would get so frustrated with myself as a beginner. I was like, why can't I get my brain to tell my hands what to do? And then my hands would hurt, and I'd get frustrated. One time I was so angry, because I was a 14-year-old boy, I ripped the B and the E string off of my guitar and hurt my hands, so lesson learned. But man, I just was like, maybe I'm not getting it. maybe it's me. I'd go to my lessons and I'd see my peers that were playing guitar. And there was this one guy, Greg. He had learned, he'd probably had been playing since he was like 8 or 9. And he could listen to a song on the radio and figure out how to play it right there. I was like, where is this coming from? I can barely even make the chords. And there was another guy, a guy named Guy. And he was already playing like Van Halen. He was, you know, ripping it up and playing all this really fast stuff. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm here like the wheels on the bus go round. I could not get it. So I thought, maybe it's me. But you know what? I kept practicing. I kept on playing all the rudimentary stuff. I played it slow. I got better. And actually, it took me several years to get to where I didn't sound like a complete novice on the guitar. In fact, it took over 10 years for me to get to where I wasn't so repulsed by my guitar playing. But I kept up with the lessons. I showed up to practice. I did all the basic steps. And slowly but surely, now, 44 years later, I can play the guitar. And it's part of what I do. It's part of who I am now. And isn't it, you guys, exactly the way that it is with our discipleship of following after Jesus? Can I get an amen for those of us that have been trying to do this for a long time? Because as it turns out, following after Jesus isn't a quick, I'm going to learn this in 3 weeks, and then I'm going to be a superstar disciple of Jesus. It doesn't work that way. We spent these last several weeks developing, by the way, this is the last of our Blueprint of Discipleship series. So we're going to end that today, and this is going to be a good news message. So you can just relax a little bit. This is going to be good news, and it's going to take the weight off of your shoulders. But we've been spending, this series looking at what does it mean to develop a plan so that, as Pastor Jeff says, we put ourselves in God's path, and then he transforms us, right? So that's what our blueprint is all about. But what do we do when there seems to be a gap? What do we do when there's a gap between where we are now and where we want to be in our walk with God? Or another way to look at it is, what do we do if there's a gap between where I am now and where I think that I should be in my faith? Because we put those shoulds on ourselves a lot with our faith here, don't we? It's like, man, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. I should know God more. Sometimes we'll look around. If you're like me in my discipleship, just like learning the guitar, it took me a long time. Same with being a Jesus follower. Man, it was a slow boil for me, you guys. So if you're a person that is a slow adapter, moving into it slowly, if you're like, I'm not sure I get all of this, this message is for you, and it's all good news. But what do we do when there's a gap between where we feel like we should be and where we are now? And here's what the great news is, that you don't have a problem. It's not you. You're not that unique. You might actually be exactly where the Lord wants you to be in your walk right now. In fact, God's word, we're going to look at it, tells us that this is the very process that God uses to develop us to spiritual maturity. So we can trust in the slow work of God to develop us spiritually as we keep showing up again and again. And then he's going to do the work for us. That's good news. That should make us go, whew, thank God. God's word has shown us that this is actually how discipleship is done, and slow and steady wins the race. I'm looking at all of you achievers that are like, no, I do things fast. I become an expert really quick. Slow and steady wins the race. And we're going to see from God's word that Jesus taught us this. So get in your Bible. If you have a pew Bible, it's on page 815. And we're going to look up Mark 4, 26 through 29. It'll be on the screen as well. This is Jesus' parable of the growing seed. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Ah, Whew. I love the simplicity of this parable. There's nothing in here that's like, all right, I'm getting ready to tell you something, a commandment that I need you to do. It's not going to be easy. Are you ready? There's nothing in there that's like that. It's just the simple yet crucially important message that God's kingdom, it advances in us through, and this is a really important part to hear, it advances in us through a hidden, gradual, and divinely powered process that we get to participate in it, but we don't make it happen. Are you tracking with me? We get to participate in this partnership, but we don't control it. And when we get into God's path, he makes our transformation happen in his power. And why is this good news for us? It's good news because this means, you guys, that we can't mess up our discipleship if we keep showing up. We can't mess it up, right? The only way to mess it up is to not keep showing up. All we have to do is keep showing up again and again. In verse 27, it said, night and day, whether the farmer sleeps or he gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how, and all by itself, the soil produces grain. We don't make the seed of our faith. We don't grow the seed of our faith. That's the Lord's job. Now, I was thinking about, you know, the idea of a seed growing, and I love science. I'm a nerd. My family teases me because I watch documentaries and stuff. But I love what science has done and what humans have been able to accomplish through science. But you know what science can't do? Science cannot make something that's non-living living, right? Science can't take the ingredients for life and somehow mix it all up and make it be alive. It just doesn't work that way. They can modify it. And I know there's a lot of biotech people in our church, right? So there's genetic things that they can do. They can clone cells. They can do all of those things, but they can't make life happen. And in this, this illustration of the seed that Jesus is using, I was thinking, I wonder what goes into a barley seed. Like if we scientifically analyzed that barley seed, what would the components be? So I looked it up, and it's mostly starches. There's proteins, oils, minerals, and water in a barley seed. They're just ordinary chemicals that aren't alive. So what would happen if we got those chemicals in the right, you know, ratio of what a barley seed is? We put them in a little petri dish, mix it all up, and we add some water, put it in the sun. What would happen? Nothing would happen. It's goo. It's not life. It doesn't have any life to it. And in the same way, you guys, we can't take... We've been talking about the ingredients of discipleship. What are the ingredients of discipleship? Things like important things, crucially important things. Prayer, knowing God's word, learning God's story of God's people through the Bible, faith in God, all of those things. We can't take those discipleship ingredients and just expect that just by doing them that God is going to meet us there. It's important, and they're the fertile, you know, we've talked in the series about these disciplines, they are the fertile soil that the Lord is going to develop us in it, but they're not going to actually make it grow. We need for that, we need the presence of the living God in us, in the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, it's not just the things that we do that are important, but we can't manufacture it. We can't make it happen by doing things really well. It's important to be faithful in our disciplines, but it's not gonna be the thing that makes it happen. What makes it our spiritual development happen is the presence of God in our life. Are you tracking with me so far? All right, Jesus' message for us here is that the image of the seed has God's kingdom growing in us through this hidden, miraculous, and oh my gosh, you guys, it is gonna be a slow process. It's gonna be way slower than we ever would want it to be. In fact, it's going to be so frustratingly slow that at times we'll be like, am I even growing at all? But you know that worship song that we sing where we say, even when I don't feel it, you're working? Like, that's faith. That is the act of faith, is saying, even when I don't feel it or notice it or see it, you're at work. You are growing me. What if we planted a seed in the soil and we just like stood in there and watched it grow? How long would we feel like, man, there is no growth happening here? But there is. It's invisible. It's under the soil. We can't see it. But the God who makes that seed come to life, he knows. And we can rest in that. So it's going to be a gradual process. And in the same way, I wasn't able to play Don't Stop Believin' for a long time. And honestly, you know, for me playing guitar, it was over 10, 11, 12 years. And people like nowadays will say, wow, you have such a talent for the guitar. I'm like, I practice and I was horrible for a long time. So this is going to take a long time in our spiritual development, you guys. And we have a lot of people in our church that are new in your faith. If you're here and you're so brand new to this, good news is there's a lot of folks in this room right now that are exactly where you are. And they might also be wondering, am I the only one that God's not doing something in? But he is. It's just invisible. So we're going to need to learn to be patient. To be patient. Has anyone here mastered patience yet? Maggie. Maggie is the only one.
My mom said I have patience.
That's good. Well, we need to
get... Patience is a virtue.
And
so important.
And we have to work at it, don't we?
Yes.
Maggie, such a good word. Who needs patience? We all do. There's going to be times when we feel like we're not growing at all, but
sometimes
God's at work at us.
There was a time in my life when my mother died. And I thought, oh God, nothing is going to be the same anymore with my mother. You know it?
Right.
I said, okay, I have to seek God. I have to
right.
seek him.
And you feel like you're going to be grieving for a long, long time, don't you? So glad. So glad you're at our church, Maggie. Welcome.
Thank you, and I hope that I'm coming to this church to see more of the Lord.
Awesome. Well, we hope you encounter him here. In fact, you know what? We pray for that every week in the prayer room. We pray, you know what? May this place be a place where not just great ministry happens, but that your presence is here. And God is faithful to show up when we ask. Thank you, Maggie, for that. I'm going to keep going, though. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay, I got more. So hang in there. Just like with grief or playing the guitar, God's slow work is the best work. God's slow work is the best work. And kids, if you have the paper, that would be a good thing to write on there about what today is about. God's slow work is the best work. How much do we need to keep hearing that over and over again? Because we feel like we should be able to get from here to there like that, but we can't. All right, and then in verse 29, Jesus says, and this is the best part, Jesus says, as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. So you know what? Not only is God going to cause our faith to grow, but he's going to be faithful to complete that work in us. Oh man, one of my favorite verses is Philippians 1:6, where Paul says, he who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. And I want to hold him to those words because he said, he began the work in me, but it also says, he's going to be the one that completes it, not me. Come on. That means we just get to just keep showing up again and again, and that he's going to complete that work in us. And, you know, it won't happen in this earthly life, but at some point in eternity, the end of days will happen, and God is going to say, well done, good and faithful servants. He's going to complete that work in us. So how does this fit into our blueprint for discipleship, for our spiritual formation, here at the close of our blueprint for discipleship series? When we leave here today, I would love for us to try one concrete, it's a very simple, concrete step that we can take toward trusting his slow work of God to be transforming us. So here's my challenge for you. And if you're a doer, now's your chance to be like, okay, game on. If you take out your phone, your device, your reminder thing, whatever it is, what I want you to do is I want you to find every day, for each day of this week, I want you to take 3 minutes. You can spare 3 minutes, right? 3 minutes of prayerful silence. And what's going to happen is everything's going to stop, including making every effort to stop our busy mind. Have you ever done that? We're like, I'm not even going to think right now. It's a lot harder than it sounds. You're going to stop and you're going to ask God to be slowly at work in you today. And not just ask him to do that, but you're going to be open to the fact that maybe in God's speed, he will accomplish something in you slower when you actually want him to do it fast. You ever thought of that when people say, God's speed? They're actually saying, may this be accomplished in God's timing, not yours. So what we're going to do is we're going to practice that God's slow work is happening in us. God's slow work is the best work. And we might, you know, we're going to feel like I need to do something, though. I need to pray. I need to, you know, I need to call down God's power with saying the right words or having the right posture. Some people, when they pray, they're like, got to really get after it and scrunch up your face. But no, Jesus says, that's not what he just said in the parable. He says that the farmer sows the seed. And he does, you know, he waters it and it's in the sun and the soil's good and all that. But the miracle of God is what makes it grow. Slowly, 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 you guys, grow to maturity. And so these 3 minutes of prayerful silence, what it's going to do is going to recalibrate our minds and our thinking. And maybe even our bodies and our nervous system and all the, you know, interconnected things. It's going to recalibrate us to this reality that God's timing is what we need, and it's a way of saying, Lord, I know that right now I might be a seed, but I trust that you're going to develop me fully to maturity. And I love this, the image of that we had of the grain. It wasn't just seed to plant in time. It's seed to stalk, stalk with a little thing, stalk with a head, stalk with a kernel in the head, right? It's incremental. We've got to be open to that incremental growth. So that's my challenge, 3 minutes of prayerful silence for you all. Are you going to do it? I'd love to be able to see you next week and say, did you do it? Is that okay? Can I call you out on it?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for saying yes. By the way, you guys, and I'm going to invite the band out right now, but this right here, what we're talking about, this is, again, this is what living by faith is. We put ourselves in God's path by doing the spiritual disciplines, our prayer, our study. We learn God's truth through God's word, all of those things. But ultimately, it's God who does the work, and we open ourselves up to that. You know, I wasn't able to play guitar beautifully in the beginning. In fact, I was pretty bad at it. But I worked at it. Am I going to play it? You'll find out. I couldn't, and we're not going to do Don't Stop Believing. But we're going to move into a time of worship. In fact, right now, I'd love to invite you to stand because we're going to respond to God. We're going to sing this song that our church just owns. It talks about abiding in God's presence so that he can do that slow work in us. So as we sing, let's invite the Lord to be slowly at work in us, because God's slow work is his best work.